This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, independent, not complicit, Pass.
That must be your new headline, Macca.
It is. Over to you.
Macca, we have Jenny McAllister, Senator Jenny McAllister from New South Wales, who's going to speak with us about a Senate committee report this morning. Good morning, Senator McAllister. How are you?
Good morning, Kaz. I am very well, thanks.
Now, before I do proceed, we've actually had communication once before. You may not recall this, of course.
Well, I do remember you, and I've been racking my brain to work out what the circumstances were. I hope I was polite.
Well, actually, you know, it was the most extraordinary thing. It was just after you got onto the Senate, and I was in my sort of tirade mode. Got into the Senate, and I sent you an email congratulating you.
Sorry, getting onto something is what Barnaby does.
Macca. So I wrote to you and asked you what your position on marriage equality was, and you took the time to write back to me and you said that you supported this and you saw this as being consistent with your values and your principles, etc., etc. And I thought, how wonderful is that? So there you go.
And that's good. I'm glad that I behaved well on the occasion that we met. It's always nice to know that that's the starting point.
So, Jenny, no wonder you chaired this Senate committee that looked into the arrangements associated with the postal survey into marriage equality. I actually took time to read the report last night, and I can see that there are equal numbers on it. It's interesting that a Senate committee is actually chaired by Labor and not by the government of the day, but there were almost equal numbers that balance the committee. It included Senator Kimberly Kitchen from your side of politics, and also Lisa Singh from your side of politics, Lee Rhiannon from the Greens, Macca's friend Bridget McKenzie from the National Party, and James Patterson from the Liberal Party, and David Fawcett. Now, three recommendations came out of the review. The recommendations are pretty clear. One is that a minority issue should not be determined by a majority postal survey. Secondly, that there should be support for the LGBTI community post the survey. And thirdly, that there should be further work done to engage regional, rural and Aboriginal communities in future elections. So what happens to these recommendations now? What status do they have? Where do they go?
So the Parliament, the formal structure is that the Parliament should oversight the things that the government, you know, the majority government is doing. And so Labor set up this committee so that we could oversight the postal survey, largely because we were so worried about what would happen to the LGBTI community during the survey. The government now may choose to respond to our recommendations. My view is that it's very important that those recommendations are on the record, particularly the recommendation that we should not proceed in this way again to decide a question of minority rights because it was so harmful. But I also think it was just very important to have that committee in place during the process of the survey. So the recommendations are important. I don't know how the government will respond or when they'll respond to them. But I actually think the most important thing was that there was a group of parliamentarians looking at what the government was doing during the survey and raising problems, flagging problems and forcing the government to respond to them properly.
Yes, I fully support your objective behind that. Interestingly enough, of course, the government MPs, the government senators on the committee, which are James Patterson and Fawcett, actually wrote a minority report and said they didn't think there was a problem. They didn't support recommendations one and two, but they supported the third recommendation. Well, it's hard not to support the third recommendation, really, isn't it? So what happens to that view? Does that sort of cloud the work of the Senate, or What happens now?
It's not uncommon for there to be a dissenting report where, a government or opposition senators might find that they don't share the majority view. But I think the most important thing is that I've got someone else on making that beeping noise. Can you hear that, Taz?
We can't hear a beeping noise.
Oh, that's good. All right. Look, I think the most important thing is that we maintain focus on the human rights issues that were raised. What became very clear during the process of the survey to everybody, and it was certainly reflected in the evidence to our committee, was that there is still an appetite for discrimination and vilification in our community.
Yes.
It's a very small group of people, I believe, and I think the result in the survey shows that the majority of Australians want to embrace and support LGBTI people. They don't want to hurt them. But there is a minority group that actively went out of their way to hurt gay and lesbian people during this process. And we need to keep our eye on that. It's not acceptable, and it was, for some parts of the community, a very, very unpleasant couple of months.
And, of course, we need to remember that it's Macca Jenny, that Senator Patterson, it was his short-lived bill, I don't even know if it got tabled, his bill as the alternative to Dean Smith's bill. And when you read through that, he wanted to enshrine many of the discriminatory acts that are facilitated by the law, and in fact make them, even more onerous. So we need to remember that, I know where James's view comes from, but so I'm not surprised by his, but Senator Fawcett probably a little bit more surprised. I thought he was a bit more balanced.
Look, I think that the where are we now? We got through the marriage survey process, and to my great pleasure, the Australian community gave a very big tick, a really big tick for marriage equality. And I should indicate that I'm off to my friends, Colly and Izzy's. They're getting married today after 35 years together, and I'm off to their wedding this afternoon, which is pretty beautiful. It's my first official gay wedding since the legislation passed, and I'm very, very excited. But that is great. We are in a very good position in that regard. But we do have a religious freedom review being undertaken by Mr. Ruddick. It's presently holding a whole series of consultations which are happening in private and by invitation, and the records of those consultations are not being made publicly available. I expect that there is a rearguard action being undertaken by people who did not want to see marriage equality become a reality and who may wish to wind back some of the anti-discrimination protections that are in place now for gay and lesbian people. And we have to resist that, because what the survey taught us is that there are still a group of people who wish to discriminate against gay and lesbian people and who seek to vilify them and hurt them. And that's just not acceptable in 2018.
And during the course of the survey itself, and even prior to the survey, we on this very program were able to feature a whole range of examples of vilification and discrimination that did occur. And of course, we campaigned pretty hard to make sure that we ended up getting what we felt was fair and right. So in the committee doing its work, how did you go about collecting the evidence to substantiate some of your claims and ultimately your recommendations?
We invited people to make submissions, and lots of people did. I also did reach out to some of the organisations like the New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby to make sure that the organisations that were at the coalface of some of the people being affected by this behaviour were engaged with the committee's work and knew that they had the opportunity to submit offensive material when they found it. I think, and you must have faced this too on the station, we did seek to find a balance between sensationalising this material and holding people accountable for it. It's harmful enough that the material appeared in the public domain. We didn't wish to amplify the effect of that harm by making making a big song and dance about it through the committee process. And so I suppose we took a rather muted approach to dealing with this material. We saw it. We saw that it was offensive. We saw that it was intended to cause harm, but we didn't seek to sensationalise it overly. And I know lots of friends chose, for example, not to repost some of those images on social media that were so hurtful, because they really just didn't want to amplify that.
Look, I think that's absolutely right. But the reality is that a number of these people managed to get away with promoting things that weren't true, things that weren't based on fact or evidence. We were constantly told that our children would be, you know, would have radical gay sex rammed down their throats, whatever the hell that means.
We were trying to find out what radical gay sex was, but no one seems to be able to tell us.
Yes, that's right.
And of course, I mean, I think that the flip side of the argument is that they've now got away with that. And had I, as a, you know, equal rights and marriage equality campaigner, come up with untruths as well, I probably would have had my head knocked off. So there's something a bit inequitous in the way in which the debate was allowed to permeate as well. And I think that, yes, it is all over, but the lessons are for me that the naysayers actually got away with a lot more than really should have been acceptable in our society.
Before the survey commenced, you'll know that lots of LGBTIQ organisations said, if you proceed down this path, there will be a very strong incentive for people to put untrue and hurtful material in the public domain in a kind of blast of nastiness to stop marriage equality proceeding, because it concentrates the mind. You know, there was a relatively short window during which the survey took place, and it provided a period of time where the incentives for people who opposed marriage equality to behave badly were very, very high.
Yes, of course.
And this was the warning. The government chose to ignore it and put the survey in place.
Jenny,
when we talked to... Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going, because we're almost out of time, and I desperately want to ask you this question. As chair of the committee, should Labor take over the reins and lead government after the next election, will you be advocating that these recommendations be adopted by a future Labor government?
Certainly, absolutely. And the Labor committee members were unanimous around the recommendations, and I would expect that they would receive the support of my colleagues also.
And, of course, the two recommendations are really about the way in which minority groups, not only just LGBTI groups, but others are dealt with by the majority. And the second one was really about providing further support, and in particular mental health support, to the LGBTIQ communities.
That's right. And we could see during the survey that there was a big lift in demand for mental health support for LGBTIQ community, and that the resources to meet that lift in demand were not there. There was also evidence that the impact on the community was ongoing after the conclusion of the survey. I would be interested to know if, you know, now that we're into sort of March, whether that is still the view of the community, that the impact is enduring. But certainly at the time, people felt that this was not something that was going to stop the day that the survey ended.
We're actually going to have a switchboard going. There's been switchboard on in the next couple of weeks. They spoke quite passionately about the impact and the number of calls they were getting. So we'll do a follow-up, and we'll make sure we keep you in the loop on that.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to hear that, Macca. Thank you.
Cool.
Senator Jenny McAllister, thank you very much for your time this morning, and thank you very much for chairing this committee and this very important piece of work.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.